Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. The peace of God is unlike any kind of peace we can get from the world. God's peace is there, even when it seems all hope is lost. And this peace is a great defense when the devil is on the attack. Today, making sure we have the peace Jesus promised. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues the series on the invisible war. We're learning about the shoes of peace as we make our way through Ephesians chapter 6. There are many things that can rob us of that peace.
But then there are other things also that rob us of peace. They are more outward. Financial struggles. People. Have you ever met a person who has robbed you of peace? Aren't they everywhere? Perhaps you're a person that someone is thinking about right now because you have robbed somebody of peace. You are connected with people who are not committed, heartily committed to your happiness. Have you ever met people like that? And so they rob you of peace. Now, what is the answer? It is the gospel of peace. And when this message is over, we're going to get very specific because I want you today, to leave here knowing exactly what you need to do to be at peace. All right? Now, what is the gospel of peace? Let's take Ephesians, since Paul has written this in the book of Ephesians, and go back to chapter 2. Let's look at chapter 2, where he raises the theme of peace, and this will give us some indication as to how we can stand and how Paul expects us to stand with the shoes of peace. First of all, notice it says, verse 13 of chapter 2, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." And I love this, verse 14, "He himself is our peace." It's not just that he brings it, he is it. You see, the good news of the gospel, Romans chapter 5, verse 1, "Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God." Jesus brings peace because, first of all, he is peace. And he's the only one who can bring you peace between you and God. You see, the problem is sin makes us enemies of God. And because we're born sinners, we are born actually enemies of God. And the question is, how do we take care of the disconnect between us and God? That's the big issue. And Jesus comes to say, "I will die on the cross, I will make a sacrifice for sin, so that those who believe in me, their sin will be set aside, wiped out, so that they can be at peace with a holy God." And only Jesus can do that. Imagine coming to the end of the restlessness, the guilt, the self-condemnation, the self-hatred, because God has said, "I have forgiven you and you have peace." Now, what if listening today, and I'm sure that here in this congregation, as well as radio and internet, there are people listening who have chosen a God who is different than the God of the Bible. For example, let's suppose there are some of you here who have read Eckhart Tolle, his book, The Power of Now, or The New Earth. Let's use that as an example. And you've bought into it, that God actually is impersonal. God is within us, and we find God by going within, because there is no God without, and there is no God in whose presence we need forgiveness. We don't need forgiveness at all unless we forgive ourselves, because God is not there to forgive us. He's not that kind of a God. He's pleased with everything that you do. Can you imagine the conscience of a person like that? I mean, I read a story about a man who was seeking peace, and he was into the movement. And he couldn't because he had done some terrible things, and his conscience condemns him. But his theology tells him there is no God who can declare you righteous, because God isn't personal. God is the God within you who approves of everything you do, until he came to saving faith in Christ. And then he realized, of course, what he knew intuitively, what all people know intuitively, that there is a God in heaven. He is personal. And unless he forgives your sin, no matter how much you drink, no matter how many drugs you take, you will never find peace with God apart from Jesus. He's the only one out there who's able to do that for us. So the first kind of peace. Yeah, you can clap if you want. You might be alone, but the first kind of peace is peace with God. But now look at the text. Verse 14, he himself is our peace, who has made us both one. And you'll notice it says there, by the way, he not only makes us to have peace with God, but peace with one another. When he talks about two men becoming one, he's talking about Jew and Gentile. And from this distance of 2,000 years, it's hard for us to understand the extent to which the Jews and the Gentiles had animosity toward one another. They hated each other. Best example today might be the Jews in Israel and the Arabs. Absolute hatred and distrust. And God in Christ brings the two together. That's what he's talking about. You'll notice in verse 16, and reconcile both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. Don't you like that phrase, Andy? Killing the hostility. I mean, here's this hostility, and God comes along and kills it. What other religion is there? What other person is there who can do that? So Jesus, in verse 14, he is our peace. In verse 15, he makes peace. Verse 17, he came and he preached peace to you who were far off and to those who are near. Jesus is the quintessential peace candidate who brings us peace with God and peace with each other. You see, if I'm in fellowship with God and you're in fellowship with God, we should be in fellowship with one another. And sometimes God brings people into our lives that are hard to get along with. You students that are here, you probably have roommates. And you say to yourself, why did this happen to me, you may say, when you get to know your roommate. And your roommate has identical thoughts, except perhaps more pressing and more urgent, about you. What's God up to? What God does is, and I'm speaking now to those of you who are married. You know, there may be many here, and there isn't a whole lot of peace in your relationship, in your marriage. What's God up to? Remember this, what God wants to do is to bring us together. Because the purpose of marriage and the purpose of roommates that are hard to get along with, the purpose is not happiness, it is holiness. And so what God does is he teaches us that we need to work at this business of peace, racially, economically, educationally, vocationally. For those of us who believe in Jesus, peace, even at great personal cost, that should be our desire. Now, notice that is peace with God, peace with others, and of course, as a part of this, what you have is peace with ourselves. Imagine being at peace. You know, it was said of someone that he is a cauldron, an inner cauldron of conflict. There are people like that. Some of them are what could be described as obsessive-compulsive kind of people. Many of them could be described also as evil people who are never at peace. They are always, always agitating. And then there are those who are trying to deny their guilt. There are those who are trying to deny their anger. They take their emotions and they put a cap on those emotions. And they're trying to live with all matters of unresolved issues. And they find within themselves there is no peace. In fact, the Bible says, I'm just thinking of it now, there is no peace for the wicked, says the Lord God. That is a verse of Scripture. God says there can be no peace as long as you are not at peace with me, as long as you are not at peace with others and circumstances, and as long as you are not at peace with yourself. Are you here today and there is no peace in your heart? In a moment, we're going to find out exactly how peace can come to you. Now, it's interesting that the Apostle Paul, using this expression, which we read a moment ago, says in verse 15, having on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. And I do need to point this out, that I believe that the Apostle Paul is not talking here about evangelism. That's not his primary purpose. He's talking about being able to stand against Satan's assaults. Because after all, that is the theme of the text. And he keeps saying, stand, 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 stand. I think he uses the word four or five times. So the Apostle Paul is saying that unless we're at peace, Satan will have a heyday with us. Through distractions, through false means by which we are going to try to get peace. And you've got all kinds of it, whether it's money or fame or anger or control or substance abuse. People are doing everything they can to say, I want peace. And the things that they do only increase the personal turmoil because they're not dealing with the issue. So Paul is saying, understand that the gospel is a gospel of peace. But I like the fact that he says the readiness or the establishment of the gospel of peace. He seems to be drawing on the Isaiah imagery where it says, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace. So maybe that's what Paul has in mind. It is a gospel of peace that we have to proclaim. So for a moment, I'm going to simply comment on that. When you and I share this gospel of peace, instantly there is satanic resistance. You don't know how much Satan hates the gospel. The Bible says that he blinds the minds of those who believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them.
And you know what, my friend? Despite the blindness that Satan attempts to bring, we here at the Ministry of Running to Win are totally committed to shedding the light around the world. I'm holding in my hands a letter from someone who says he is 81 years old and has been listening to Moody since 1957. He said, when I came from Puerto Rico at the age of 15. I'm so glad that the Ministry of Running to Win encompasses all ages. We're so delighted that there are children that listen, young people that listen, but also we're reminded that we have a long legacy, a legacy of faithfulness. Would you consider helping us? Would you consider becoming an endurance partner? That's someone who stands with us regularly with their prayers and their gifts. Well, I hope that you have a pen or pencil handy because I'm going to be giving you some info. Here's what you can do. You can go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. When you're there, click on the Endurance Partner button, and you'll find out what endurance partners do. Or you can call us at 1-800-215-5001. Thanks in advance for praying for us, for helping us. Go to offerrtw.com, click on the Endurance Partner button, or as I mentioned, call right now at 1-800-215-5001. 5001.
Pastor Erwin Lutzer with more of a message on the Shoes of Peace, the fourth of seven in a series on the invisible war. Next time, more on why sharing the gospel of peace is an invitation for the devil to make his move. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. Our series on the invisible war can be yours on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about the invisible war. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.